Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Mogo Finance Unaudited 6 Months 2020 Earnings. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the speaker presentation, there will be a question and answer session, during which to ask a question, you will need to press star and one on your telephone keypad. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, and I would now like to hand over the conference to your speaker, Modestas Sirtis. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome everyone who joined today's Mogo earnings call. My name is Modestas Sirtis. I'm CEO of Mogo Finance, and today, together with my colleague, our Chief Financial Officer, Marius Skaistis, we'll walk you through Mogo results of first 6 months of 2020. Before we jump into presentation, let me spend a couple of minutes in emphasizing key information which we wanna present to you today. Obviously, today we'll walk you through financial results. We'll highlight how COVID affected them. We will also emphasize what operational wins the company have achieved in this, I could say, like, new reality, new COVID reality. Obviously, we'll present actions which we have taken to strengthen the company in second quarter and also strategy which company has chosen to take going forward. Now let me turn to the presentation, and I would like to start with slide number 4, which is Mogo operational highlights. Here in the graphs on the left, we show how Mogo issuances and cash collection from customers were developing in first 6 months of the year. Looking at first graph, looking into sales figures, we obviously see a huge drop in April, which was the peak of pandemic, when most of active lockdowns were presented across Mogo geographies. At the same time, it was also highest uncertainty about the future month, I could say. Therefore, company also took deliberate actions to limit its issuances to minimum, which you can see in the graph. What we see in following months, what we see in May and especially in June, is that issuances are gradually recovering. We're still not at the pre-COVID level, having 5.6 million issuances in June. But we're also focusing on not immediate, more like on gradual sales return, which is obviously based on strengthened underwriting, which is done through extra checks, COVID impact assessments. And I think best indication for that, seen in the graph is our drop in conversion rate, which has dropped from 13% in February to 5% in May and 7% in June. What does it indicate to us? That actually shows that big part of the drop in Mogo issuance is company-driven, and then demand for the product have not decreased. And obviously, what we expect going forward, that the steady increase in sales noticed in May and June, that the same trend will continue going forward. And that is definitely the case, what we see already in July. Looking at the graph below, which is our cash collection recovery graph, we see similar and even more positive trends. Cash collections from the clients have been dropping in double digits month-to-month, starting March, and again, reached its lowest point in April, which was 9.9 million euros. Once again, it has been steadily recovering afterwards, and in June, we have reached 13.1 million euros collection level, which is almost a pre-COVID level. And here, what I wanna mention, and then note down that actually that was achieved despite the fact that portfolio have noticeably shrank in second quarter, as well, that in some markets, there are still some light moratoriums in place. So all that, we see this as a very positive result, And we see that partially these results are driven by our debt collection actions, which we as a company have taken as a reaction to COVID pandemic. Actions such as additional DC tools implementation for the clients, DC meaning debt collection tools for the clients, focusing more on soft collection and giving clients additional headroom to go through these economic turbulences. And that obviously worked, and that we've seen the results. Kind of summarizing this slide, we see that things are really getting back to normal, or actually they are back to normal. Portfolio quality has stopped deteriorating. Of course, money uncollected in April and then May, money uncollected from customers which went into default or which were put on some special debt collection tools, that money are not lost. And to big extent, we will be recovering these amounts through further improvements in collections, through repossession car sales processes. And then in third and fourth quarter, this will be significant operational focus for us. Now let's turn to slide number five. Here I will walk you through our strategic decisions which we have taken as a company. So MOGO made a decision to rationalize part of its portfolio and some of its markets while putting full focus on most profitable markets as well as markets having best unit economics. As a result of that, you can see in the structure graph in the slide how did MOGO operational structure change from end of 2019 to mid of 2020. So we have moved from 18 operational markets and then 5 regional headquarter hubs to three regional management entities and 12 operational markets. Currently in 6 markets, issuances are suspended with full focus on debt collection and significantly decreased cost base. So to already non-operational markets Poland, 5 Balkan markets were added. And in those markets, we are also investigating portfolio or a whole operation sales opportunity, and actually, like, we already see quite tangible results from this process, and on that we hope to update you in the nearest future. Companies still will continue to develop its most promising so-called startup markets, which as of today have demonstrated exceptional potential to grow further. They also have very attractive unit economics and also strong management teams, which we believe will continue delivering great results in those markets. So these markets are active, and then we will be focusing our growth there in the future as well. Obviously, these rationalizations also resulted in leaner, more compact organizational structure for us going forward, in kind of in form of 3, not 5 headquarter management teams. This allowed us to decrease the admin expenses, to achieve human resource optimizations, at the same time while maintaining most experienced management teams in place, and not sacrificing or not weakening MOGO management or corporate governance structures. And maybe to finalize this slide, I'd like also to mention one more project, to mention that MOGO continues its successful off-balance sheet lending project, which we launched to tackle near-prime segment in collaboration with Latvian Bank through joint venture. So project was launched and we've presented it as well at the end of 2019. So far, it shows very good growth results in Latvia, and actually growth there was achieved even in COVID times, and now this project will be rolled out to other Baltic countries, and we expect further successful development. Now let's turn to slide number 6. Here you can see more visually how new MOGO geographical footprint looks like. In this slide, we have split the market into already presented rundowns, into developed markets, which are characterized based on scale and profitability, and developing markets, which essentially consist of part of previously so-called startup markets. And looking actually on these startup markets financials, you can see that despite COVID effect, they were showing strong improvements in portfolio growth, and most of them were on EBITDA positive level looking at the last 6 months. And that actually, given the fact that these markets were launched in last 18 months, which is a great result for those markets and gives for those markets being at this maturity stage and gives us a lot of confidence in those markets for the future. On that, I'd like to hand over to my colleague Marek Skrets, who will walk you through MOGO financial highlights.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Modestas, and welcome everyone on the call. So now, turning to the slide 7, obviously the first half of 2020 was heavily dominated by everything COVID-19 related, so starting from physical lockdowns and ending with different moratoriums. Anticipating the headwinds early on, MOGO has actually conducted fierce and decisive actions, and we have cut our admin and sales expenses by more than 20%. This has partially helped to weather the COVID-19 storm relatively successfully from EBITDA perspective, and we have managed to protect the EBITDA to match the 2019 level. Net profit was impacted negatively by adverse forex movements that were particularly notable at the end of March. Net profit before Forex is actually showing a decline compared to the first 6 months of 2019, and this was mainly due to the one-time impairment charge that we took and booked in April. We're now in months of May and June, we are able to observe a rebound. Also, net profit was negatively affected by slightly lower revenue in Q2 versus Q1 of this year due to anticipated decrease in loan and lease receivables. And the third major factor on the profitability drag was our high cash balance that served us well during times of uncertainty in April and May, but now we have started to optimize it, and more on this will follow later on during the presentation. Notably, we are posting an equity increase compared to the beginning of the year, thanks to the current shareholders' contribution in a form of subordinated loan during Q1. And then also ending slide on a slightly positive note as well. Fitch Ratings have reaffirmed our B- rating with the outlook remaining negative, but that is solely due to the external factors not related to MOGO fundamentals. Now I will turn to slide 8. Given the portfolio growth compared to the end of June 2019, our revenue has also increased and now reaching 42.1 million euros. As mentioned previously, despite COVID-19 headwinds, our EBITDA has shown resilience and we are at the same 15 million euro level as during the first 6 months of 2019. We are still net profit positive before Forex, as we position ourselves for stronger upticks during the second half of this year. And also as a result of previously mentioned very decisive cost-cutting exercises that we have managed to implement, now we see a decrease in the cost-to-income ratio that now falls below 40%. And as we intend to have stable cost base for the remainder of the year, the ratio is actually expected to further improve. And lastly, both of our Eurobond covenant ratios, interest coverage ratio, as well as capitalization ratio, are above the required levels, which are especially good news despite the Q2 turbulence. So now turning to the slide 9, we see our net loan portfolio breakdown, and we are able to observe the development by essentially our three tiers of countries. So a quick reminder, Tier 1 being all our 5 mature and profitable countries, Tier 2 being mid-tier markets with substantial portfolios, and Tier 3 being our essentially our startup countries. On the graph on the right-hand side, we can also observe how our portfolio has diversified over the time. And notably, our net loan portfolio contracted when we compare end of June figures with end of last year figures. And this was due to the cash flow dynamics that was presented at the beginning of the presentation by Modestas, when during Q2 we actually issued less cash than we received. Now turning to the slide 10. So this would be our NPL slide. Our net loan portfolio consists from 89% of performing loans, which is actually a very similar figure that we observed by end of March, and that was 90%. Performing loans are all loans that are current and or overdue until 34 days past due. So our NPLs have been negatively affected by different physical restrictions that are limiting our repossession activities or were limiting our repossession activities during beginning of Q2, as well as, of course, moratoriums putting limitations on the incoming cash of our portfolio. So worth emphasizing that the portfolio split does not include any specific COVID-19 assumptions and is a true reflection of our current portfolio split by delay buckets. All that being said, due to the static nature of the ratio where NPLs are divided by the loan portfolio, the ratios are optically overstated by end of June, since the loan portfolio has actually contracted during Q2 due to very minimal issuances when compared to the periods before. So if we would actually apply end of March net loan portfolio or loan portfolio to the same ratio, the increase in NPLs would constitute only 2 basis points when compared to the end of Q1 figures. Now I suggest to turn to slide 11. So this will be essentially our balance sheet view. So our total assets have contracted compared to the beginning of the year, and that would be in line with the portfolio developments that we discussed previously. At the same time, our cash balance and equity have been showing improvements since the beginning of the year. When looking at the liabilities side, we are able to observe our diversified sources of funding, with majority coming from both Eurobonds issued by holding company in Luxembourg and local bonds issued by our Latvian operational entity. And of course, the other significant source of funding will be our loans from peer-to-peer lending marketplace Mintos. So with this, I would like to end my part and pass it over back to Modestas.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Marius. Now let's turn to slide number 12. This is a summarizing slide for today's presentation, and also like the slide where we want to stress MOGO strategy going forward. So in new strategic cycle for MOGO, as I could call it, we come slightly different organization with leaner, more compact, more cost-effective structure in place. That obviously is the result of what we already presenting, like rationalization of Balkan markets, structural changes in headquarters. Also, going forward, company will focus on most profitable markets and markets with most attractive unit economics. Looking at operations, operationally we will continue putting core focus on debt collection actions, and even more so strengthening our already kind of core competence as a company, hard collection activities, which will be especially very, very important in upcoming quarters. Also, diversified funding structure will remain as our strategic goal. MOGO is satisfied with our core funding sources, having two big sources being bonds and peer-to-peer platform, but at the same time expanding funding through our sources is still of core importance for us, and that, of course, preferably would be done through equity injections. Also, MOGO will continue focusing on best capital allocation decisions. One of them is potential profitable acquisitions of lending companies or portfolios in familiar geographies in Europe and Africa. At this moment, having strong cash position and at the same time shrank portfolio in last quarter, this is one of the strategies companies evaluating now, as adding profitable business with a sizable portfolio would help to tackle a recent downward effect in portfolio and in revenue. In relation to that, in July, MOGO announced the acquisition of Sebo Credit, which is a consumer loan company in Moldova, and this acquisition is expected to be a profitable addition to MOGO Group from day one, as well as having lots of synergies with existing MOGO car business in that country, as well as opportunities to develop business further. So set of these core strategic pillars, they represent slightly different, slightly changed MOGO strategy going forward, which is being diversified, profit-oriented lender. With this note, I'd like to end our presentation part and turn to our operator to start the Q&A session.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. And our first question comes from the line of Frank Oliver Lemon from Dealer Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, and thanks for the presentation. Two questions. One, on the FX side, I expected that the second quarter would get you a little bit of a catch-up because most of the FX induced loss has already been showing up in the Q1, and I wonder why that's not the case. If I look at the FX rates that are underlying in your business. That's my question number one. Number two is one I asked that last time, but I see the position still in the balance sheet. The receivable as a result of sale of a subsidiary, the 16.1 million, that's getting rolled forward. Is that a money good asset actually? Because it relates to the sale of Longo, if I recall it right, and Longo was the used car trading operation. What do I have to think about? What is that 16.1 million constituting? Are these pools of used cars, or what are we actually looking here for? And why is it not getting collected over time, or what is the perspective of it being collected over time? Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So thanks, Frank Oliver, for the question. I'll take both of them. So let me start with the Forex first. On the Forex, we actually saw a different dynamic between the currencies that we had in the loan portfolio. And as you know, we're quite diversified company across multiple geographies. So in one currency depreciates, other appreciates. Although you correctly noted that Q1, the prevalent theme in the Q1 was currency depreciation. And then in Q2, many currencies rebounded. Actually, the currency that rebounded the most in Q2 was currency in Kazakhstan. What's actually particularly notable and specific for us in this case is the fact that we decreased our net assets or Forex exposure in Kazakhstan at the very, very beginning of the Q2 by capitalizing the euro loan into the local currency denominated equity. This was a mandatory action that we had to take in that we had that had to take place due to the new regulation that was coming in, into the force in the country. So to, for us to successfully obtain the license that would require that be required to continue operating in the country, we had to do this. Obviously, we did succeed with the license, and this was the major factor where we could not fully realize the currency appreciation into the Q2. So this this across all the markets was the biggest upside factor that we due to this particular circumstance we were not able to fully realize. Although of course a small tiny improvement was noted. Then maybe on the second question on the longo sale, yes. So the receivable, just to clarify, it does fully relate to the longo sale. It is essentially a vendor loan for the new buyers on the company of the longo business. It is actually we need to take into account the fact that payments are coming in, or basically what we are receiving so far would be the interest payments for the Q1 and Q2. As per initial graph, how the vendor loan had to be settled, it was predominantly a Q4 payment with some tiny amount or relatively tiny amount coming in Q3. It was a Q4 payment that we are still expecting and anticipating. So actually the dynamic or the static nature of this receivable during Q1 and Q2 is nothing unexpected, as it really comes as the initial graph was signed with the sellers and the initial settlement was intended to be. So basically we see that this receivable will have to be settled in the Q4, and by the end of this year we'll be looking at a different balance sheet. So that's that would be the answer on the second question.
Maybe just to add on the second question, you also, Frank, asked so what lies behind, and basically maybe small update how Longo is doing. Obviously we're following their performance quite actively. So Longo is having strong sales in all across Baltic markets. As you noted, you very well noted, kind of Longo sales are used cars which they are selling and trading in Baltics. So when it comes to business operations, so far we're seeing a positive sign from Longo, which also kind of gives a lot of confidence that this receivable will be covered as Marius presented.
All right, thank you very much. Look forward to that Q1 balance sheet then.
Sounds good. Thanks, Frank. All right.
We have no further questions at this time. Once again, if you do wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. And we have another question from the line of Roland. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I mean, you're saying you, let's say, collection and so on has recovered. What feedback do you get from the single countries? I mean, we all were expecting lockdowns to be released. Now the COVID infections also rise again in many countries, so the danger is that lockdown starts again. I mean, would you say that in your countries, let's say, economy returns, I wouldn't say into normal, but into, let's say, in a way that you are... That you are confident that your business, your collection will further on improve and go back to normal? I mean, can you tell us a little bit about what's the feedback really from life, from business? Is it recovering or is it also still in a very dormant kind of way? Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Roland, for the question. Answering and then kind of providing a little bit more feedback from the countries, here we also need to probably split countries into parts, as we're operating or we're operating in 18 markets. So different markets have been affected by COVID and is still being affected by COVID slightly different. That being said, and I think we're not kind of ruling over this second COVID wave. Maybe to some extent it's already happening. What we see, what was initially, like why initially our collections dropped so much, that was obviously for the really very, very strict kind of restrictions put in the markets, strict curfews, but at the same time it was also kind of caused by expectations, by communication from central banks, by implementing of moratoriums, and the feedback what we're getting even from the markets, which are still affected quite a lot, and where maybe this second COVID wave started without even first wave being finished, we see that that feedback is positive, and that the banks are not central banks or regulators are not trying to impose some new moratoriums. Also worth noting that in majority of our countries where we have biggest part of portfolios, already quite big government support came in. That obviously helps customers with their economic situation. And maybe finalizing this answer, also biggest part, like really Baltics, Romania, same Bulgaria, where we have biggest portfolios, these same Moldova, these markets, it seems that despite in some of them high COVID cases, it seems that like the signals what we're seeing from the market that they're getting back to like normal economic rhythm, and that they're kind of getting used to not waiting when the COVID will be over, but actually living with that. So that gives us a lot of confidence, kind of a combination of all these factors what I've mentioned, a lot of confidence that whether it's second, third wave will come, that we will never see some similar effect to what we had in April and May, and actually that we'll be able to continue recovering and improving our cash collection results across all our geographies. And even as of today, as of July, we see that results are still improving across all the geographies. So that's maybe slightly scattered answer, but that's really the feedback and our expectations from the market.
Okay, so you are positive that the uptrend kind of continues, basically.
Exactly, and of course that will be partially affected by our own actions, repossession actions, car sales actions, because we were, to some extent, we're not doing it, that ourselves, and to another extent, also we're not even able to do in some of the markets. But now that's not the case anymore.
Yes. I mean, obviously the repossession, that's not your business model, right? Because, I mean, you finally want to lend new loans and want to have a stable enough economy that it gets repaid. Yeah. So, for your future also. Profit generation again, and but also on that part, you are confident that it will go into normal, it will approach normality again. Did I understand correctly?
Yes, you understood correctly. Obviously, our approach is not to do the kind of debt, not to do the repossession, but that's first of all. Once you start that process, that's a very big motivation for customers to actually recover the payment. And if we still get to this repossession stage, we know how to do it. It's part of our business. It's part of our strength. So we don't shy away from that. And that's part of how we recover our portfolio and reinvest the money into new loans.
Thank you.
There are no further questions at this time. Please go ahead.
Okay, so if no further questions, then once again, thanks everyone for joining our call. Thanks for insightful questions. Then with this we will end our call. Goodbye, everyone.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect. Speakers, please stand by.